Welcome back, real estate rock stars. Today's guest is Sam Reifman Packett, or Sam RP on the gram. He's out of Boston, Massachusetts, has been an agent for 13 years, and last year closed $30 million in volume. He specializes in working with first-time home buyers and building his business through Instagram. Here is what you should expect to learn in today's show. Why you should stop posting educational content. Exactly what to say in a poll to get one client, not one lead, one client from every single question that you put out there, and the one thing that Sam wished he started doing 10 years ago. Rockstars, please welcome Sam RP. What is working now in the world of Instagram for marketing, lead generation, conversions? What's working now?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I've had a lot of success as of late with Instagram. It is something that I had always had Instagram. I've been doing this for 13 years. And so I'd always been using Instagram since it came out, but I never really figured out how to use it as a tool for actually generating business. About 2.5 years ago, I started to make video content. Everyone was doing this. You know, you would see Glenda Baker and Taya DiCarla, all these people were going viral with these videos. And I said, my background was in entertaining. I was a musician. It was in a band that toured. So I was like, I can be in front of a camera. I can entertain, but I don't know what I'm trying to do with it. So I kind of experimented, seeing what other people were doing for a little while. And then about 6 months into that, I ended up deciding to hire a coach specifically for marketing and social media and online presence and all that stuff. So I started working with this guy, Will Draper, who's amazing, through Tom Ferry. And him and I, we started throwing spaghetti at the wall. We were trying everything. We were trying to figure out what was working, what wasn't working. We really kind of figured out who my target audience was. We figured out what my content buckets would be to match that audience. And then I started doing 2 to 3 videos a week for a year. And I would post the same videos on Instagram and on TikTok. And I used Instagram a lot more as a tool. I interact with people on Instagram. TikTok, I'm a consumer, but I don't communicate with people on TikTok. And a year into doing this and nothing really hit, I was getting kind of basic views. I had one video that went viral and I took that video and kind of Will and I really dissected it, I should say, talking about why do we think that this video resonated. And we started to kind of look at all the content I was making and what was different about that piece of content. That video was a video that talked about 5 big developments that were coming to the Boston area that were going to change. My hook was Boston is changing. Here are the 5 developments currently in the works right now that will forever change the Boston skyline. Number one, and then I just kind of went into them and showed kind of renderings of what these developments were going to look like. And that video got 500,000 views in a couple of weeks, and it grew my followers from 1,800 to about 5,000 on Instagram in just a matter of a few weeks. And what I really kind of took away from that was I had spent a year doing a lot of very specific educational content on the home buying process and the home selling process. Here's, you know, 5 tips for, you know, if you have a home inspection, here's what it's going to be like. Here's what to look out for in a home inspection. Here's how to prep your home for sale. A video after video after video. And I learned that people don't give a shit about that. I've been speaking so in the weeds of the real estate business that I didn't realize that most people do not care about that stuff. Now, I know that most Instagram people out there are giving the educational content. That's fine. I think that you will have more success if you pivot away from that. And I started to pivot away from that. I started to do more generic videos about Boston, developments that were coming to Boston. And I started to also do property tours. And then the property tours took off even more. And now I'm doing one to two property tours just right here with my phone, nothing fancy. And I do these property tours one to two times a week. And every video will get anywhere from, at the low end, 20,000 views, but most of them are 50,000 to 200,000 views. And I will get leads every week. That's kind of my basic tip. And I can kind of dive into that a little bit deeper, but that's my pivot that I made. And it worked. And it still is working. I did a video yesterday and I posted it. I went on a tour with a client, came back, and it was already over 10,000 views. And I had a bunch of comments and messages.
To recap, really, is you've tested this for a long time on what works, mm-hmm. what doesn't. So if anyone is listening to this and just getting into Instagram, maybe they should take away your hard-earned lessons learned, which is no one cares about these in-the-weeds detailed home buying, selling processes. They care much more about either what's happening locally in their city or some property porn
type. And I'm not going to say nobody cares, but mm-hmm. it's a much smaller audience. First of all, there's a reason that we get hired. People want us to be the expert. And I am being specific with my content still. I'm only doing property tours in Boston. I've had agents ask if I would come and film their property in a suburb outside of Boston. Beautiful property, like mansion, $5-7 million property. But I won't do it because I want to stay as specific to the city of Boston as I possibly can. Unless it was my own personal listing, then I'd be like, all right, now we'll do it. And I'm also sticking with a price range. I've been filming, for the most part, properties in the $1 to $3 million price point. So every week, the people who are following me, which is now, you know, I'm hopefully going to probably cross 13,000 followers by next week. I'm gaining about 1,500 followers a month. All those followers, for the most part, are not agents. They are everyday people who live in Boston because I'm being specific about the content that I'm making for a location. And it's specific with a price point too. So as I'm getting DMs from people, in the beginning, I was getting DMs from first-time buyers that wanted to get something in the $300,000 to $500,000 range. Because I wasn't really showing properties at a price point. But once I started to show properties at that price point, now my buyers that I'm getting are, they're reaching out about the properties that I'm showing. So if it's a $1 million property, I'm getting a $1 million buyer typically.
Yeah, which, gosh, that's so powerful too. And that's something that I really overlooked when I first got my license and was getting into real estate. I worked with a ton of investors and literally sold $40,000 properties. And so I think it's really cool that in this world, you attract what you put out. I was talking about all of the investments that I was doing personally. Therefore, the people who were attracted to my message were those who wanted to do what I had done. And it's so cool that you're like, oh, I would like to work in this $1 to $3 million price point. Therefore, if I put out, you know, content that resonates with the people who are looking for that specific thing, that therefore that's what I'll attract. Like, it's like, yeah. Whoa, amazing.
The other thing I will say too is I have an analogy that I've been using because I've been doing a presentation on this to agents across the country a few times. The analogy that I use on why you should stop being so specific with, you know, the educational content. I paint this picture of there's two Instagram profiles out there that are about cars. We buy cars probably, at least in the city of Boston, about the same cadence that we buy a home. You know, you're getting a car every 4 to 7 years here in the city. We're seeing a lot of our people move every 4 to 7 years, somewhere in that range. And I don't know anything about cars. I shop for cars every 4, 5, or 6 years to get a new one, but I don't really know anything about the cars. And so I paint the picture of there's two profiles and you have car salesman Jim, let's call him, and his video content, and video content is important. I think if you're doing posts, I think video is important to resonate with people. So he's doing video content and his videos are, you know, what's the best premium windshield wipers? What's the perfect tire pressure to have your tires to get the best speed on the highway or miles per gallon on the highway? What, you know, when we lift up the hood, what are all these things mean? What do these things do? How often should you change out this? What is this? And then you have another person, let's call him Car Salesman Sam, and his videos are, here are the five best luxury vehicles you can buy right now. Here are the three vehicles you must get if you have a family. Here are my two favorite electric vehicles on the market today. Here's the one vehicle I would never buy. If you think about it that way, most of us are the first guy. Most of us are that guy who are, we're opening up the hood. We're talking about the details of what's going into the car, all these things that are important, but the everyday person doesn't really care about. The everyday person is going to resonate more with the second profile. And so when I started to think about that, that is now how I approach my content that I'm making. Let me give you the secret sauce of what to actually post. Okay.
Oh my God. I love secret sauce. Yes.
And this is what is really important is reels are for reach and growth and stories are for engagement. You're going to create videos that we think are going to resonate with as wide but of a specific audience as you can get to gain followers, to gain trust from these people, but you are going to win them over and gain them as leads to clients in the stories. So my strategy right now is two videos a week and one what I'm calling an engagement story post a week. And the videos are going to grab people. I'm going to gain. And the videos are literally, if you go to my Instagram profile, it's at SamRP, you will just see property tour over property tour. And it is literally just me from my point of view, walking through the home, sped up. You've seen it over and over again. But it's literally just that. And I do a voiceover where I'm kind of pitching the property. I will script it out, which I think is important. I'm not good at winging it. I will script it out and I'll make sure that I'm hitting kind of target points. And I'm trying to make sure I don't lose the audience, because now we are trying to keep the audience just by what we are saying while they are watching it. But the engagement story posts are super clutch when you actually want to start to get leads. So here's what I mean by that. I like to think of an engagement story post as a what we'll call a hand raiser. And this is, you are posting something to your story and your goal is to try to capture as many people raising their hands as possible. So I use either polls or questions. I think polls are the best option because questions, if you want someone to fill something in, that's enough of a barrier for some people to just scroll right past. Polls are the easiest one. And a good example of that would be, you know, I did one, I was just talking to Marie Lee about this yesterday. I did one where I posted last month a video, just a selfie video. It was talking about how I had a really busy week signing up a few new buyers that we're taking out this weekend, getting a couple new listings coming up. You know, we have a couple of slots open to bring on a few more clients this month. If you're thinking about moving this spring or even this summer, make sure you vote in the poll above. And the poll just said, are you looking to move in 2024? And one option was something like, yes, definitely going to be buying a home this year. The second option was something along the lines of hoping to sell my home at some point this year. Third option was trying to do both, Lord help me, or something like that. And then you have all these people vote. And here's where people drop the ball. They just let people vote, and that is that. That doesn't do anything. So then what I do is, and this is so simple, but people aren't doing it. The next day, when the 24-hour period is done, I'll go into my archive, I'll look at the poll, and I will DM every single person that voted. Hey, I saw you are looking to buy your first home this spring. We'll love to see how I can help. You know, can you give me a brief overview of what you're looking for? And I will do that to every single person that voted, and I will always get clients from that every single time. And if you do something like that every week, you just need to do one a week, you will get new leads every week.
Sam, it's so simple and it makes so much sense.
Yeah,
I've definitely done the poll, you know, thing before. And then exactly like you said, did nothing with that. Was like, oh, well, you know, I think this is enough for them to realize that I could help. Sitting, yeah. Waiting, hoping. you know.
Here's one. You're at a property that you're going to be listing next week or in 2 weeks, or you're previewing your coworker's property. You know, ask them permission, but snap a quick picture and just say, checking out this stunning, whatever, 3-bedroom condo in the heart of downtown Boston that's coming to market next week. Do you want the secret details? Yes. Love to get some more information. No, not looking to buy a home. Whoever votes yes, DM them and, you know, start the conversation. You can think of like, there's a bunch of these, and then you can just rinse and repeat. You do it over. And I have a cycle of 4 or 5 of these I just keep on doing.
Do you have them written down somewhere that you could share with our audience as a tool?
I have screenshots of some from my presentation that I can share.
Dude, that would be great if you could send that to me. And listeners, I know you are dying for, because I literally was just going to be like, okay, let's go through all of them, but this works too. So
another one, home equity report one, right? Like, again, I'm sorry, I cut you off there, but I get excited.
Dude, all good.
So you do another story post, just sat down with clients of mine. They've gained $125,000 in equity in just the last 2 years. Would you like a custom home equity report? And then it's a poll. Yes, please send me a custom home equity report. No, I don't own a home, but I'm thinking about it. Or what's a home equity report? Right? You're just giving people options to click on, and then you will DM them and start the conversation. This is as good, not as good, but almost as good as being at an open house and talking to a potential buyer that walks right in. This is a virtual open house, if you will.
It's more efficient. This is the efficient.
Very efficient. I mean, you can have, and look, sometimes I will do one and I get 10 hand raisers. Maybe I'll get 5 hand raisers, but then I'll do one that might get 30 hand raisers. If you do this, again, it's you have to start to scale up. If you only have 800 followers, obviously the amount of people that would be seeing that post or that story post to vote on it will be fewer. But as you're gaining followers and you keep on doing this, and again, we're gaining new followers. If we are posting content every week, we're gaining new followers every week. So you can recycle this content. New people will see it for the first time. If you keep on doing this, you will get leads at least every month, if not every week.
Okay, question. So you're gaining 1,500 followers a month. And, you know, I roughly have your Instagram profile pulled up. You have, you know, lots of likes and comments on your content. So, mm-hmm. And you know, the poll thing, amazing. Love it. I feel like that's super efficient and makes so much sense. Are you also, do you have any other systems in place to, are you reaching out to people as they follow you? Are you replying to comments? Like, are you anything else?
I will try to reply to comments sometimes. I am not on, I could and should be better at that. I get a lot of hate in the comments, as I think anyone does who's talking about real estate, right? Like, a lot of people will just kind of talk about, why is that, you know, $2 million or whatever? Why is it so expensive? So a lot of the time I'll just kind of like let them go. But if there's a comment worth engaging with, I will definitely talk with them. But I, most of the time I don't respond to them, but a lot of other people will respond to those comments. There's heavy discussions that are happening in my comments on a lot of these videos. People will yell back and forth.
Okay, gotcha. So no outreach to new follows, comment, no. Replies, occasional.
It's happening too quickly for me to keep up with it.
Okay, so polls really are like that's your secret. That is your secret sauce.
Yeah, and then I have these property tours and they're starting to become a little evergreen. I will still have people who will send me a random message about a property tour that I did 3 months ago, asking if it's still available.
Okay. So in order to grow, I know that you're growing, but is there anything special besides, like, obviously, you know, you have these beautiful property tours, but is there any like thing about timing or, you know, sharing the hashtags, things, words?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think people try to find the secret sauce. There is no secret sauce. You have to just be consistent. You have to understand your brand, be consistent with that brand, and know that in the very beginning, it's not going to take off. But if you commit to it, it will. Like, I have friends of mine who have started to do property tours in other states, and they are starting to see success. In the beginning, not so much, but they're starting to be consistent with it, and it starts to take off. And you don't have to do property tours. That doesn't have to be your thing. But I would encourage you to think about who's your target audience? What do you think they want to see? And just try not to be as in the weeds as we've all been over the last few years. I wouldn't post on the weekends. I think weekends are good for story posts. I mean, I think Jason Pantano always says, always have a story up. So I believe that. I've been busy lately, so I've been slacking, but I almost always have something going on in my stories. That's where I usually live. But I'm only posting 1 to 2 times a week, usually Tuesdays, Wednesdays, or Thursdays. And I wouldn't do it late at night. Anywhere is in between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m., I think you're fine. I do use hashtags. I've just been copying and pasting the same generic hashtags because it's just in my template. I have no idea if they're helping at all or not. I'm not boosting these. I haven't spent a penny on this in almost a year. I don't think you have to. I think you really want to try to build an organic follower base. But I really do believe if you can deliver the video in a entertaining way and an engaging way, I think if you are having a hard time with that, script it out. I cannot wing it. I always script and I always think about how can this be better? How can this be quicker? How can we get to the point quicker? You know, don't do intros. Nobody cares about an intro. You know, I'm not like, hey, what's going on, guys? I'm Sam Reifman Packett with the RP Group at Compass here in Boston. Like, you've already lost me at that point, right? Don't do intros. You're wasting people's time. If they're interested, they'll go to your profile. They'll figure out who you are. Just get right to it and try to be specific yet broad at the same time.
Sam, what do you mean specific, broad at the same time?
Specific to your audience. I'm local to Boston. I sell real estate. We're looking at real estate in a certain price point, but broad in a sense where I'm not talking about inspections. I'm not talking about appraisals. I'm just talking about a property, or I'm just talking about a neighborhood. And you don't have to, it doesn't have to be just properties. You can talk about, you know, whatever, your three favorite taco spots in this part of town, your five favorite parks to go on a date, you know, these kinds of things. But I think that type of content, lists are really good. Like doing countdown lists are really good because it's generic enough where you'll get a lot more hits and a lot more follows. And all you have to do is be specific about where you're talking. So if you're trying to sell and attract people in a certain area, talk about that area.
It's also logical. Yeah, lists really get me. If something is like open-ended and it's like, learn how to cut your grass faster. Like, I'm not watching that video because I don't know what I'm getting myself into. But if it's like the three top tips to cutting your grass, which is obviously a terrible example, I'm not pulling it out of my head very well right now. I'm like,
listen,
oh, it's
three. I love lawn care on TikTok. I got to a point last fall where all of a sudden I ordered up like a $60 bag of lawn seed from this guy who just kept cutting yards and they looked amazing. And by this, like the 10th video that I got fed of his on TikTok, I was like, I'm going to buy these seeds. And I did.
Did they work?
It worked on me.
Dude. Yeah. Okay. So big fan of listicles. Big fan of your lawn care. That's great. I'm so happy for you and that guy on TikTok. question a little bit about, are you living on Instagram? Like, and are you only replying through your phone? Do you have it pulled up on your desktop? Do you have leverage in place? Are you time blocking? Those questions.
I'm not time blocking. Probably should. I do use ManyChat from time to time. I was using it a little bit more in the fall where I was doing these videos that were about, I did for a while, all fall, I was doing a weekly video that was about a new development. In Boston, we're having a lot of these big developments. You know, it's a city. So you have a lot of these new skyscrapers or basically a whole new block that's being built right in the heart of town somewhere. So I would do these videos and then I would say something along the lines of, you know, if you are looking to buy your first home or buy a home in this area, or you want to, you know, learn more about this development, you know, DM me the word, and then I would have a trigger word and that would start a many chat. And I still do have a many chat connected. I think if you DM me the word Boston, many chat will start to talk to you. You know, that's like the kind of the, you know, DM Boston to get started on your home search is just right in my bio, I think. I could use it more. It was helpful. I got leads. I would be basically talking to people without knowing I'm talking to people while I'm driving around, which was nice. I haven't been using it as much, but I think it's a great tool to use, and I would like to get back to using it more. I'm not time blocking. It's mostly on my phone, but sometimes if I'm sitting here and I'm DMing with somebody, I will have it up on my desktop as well.
Yeah, I'm a big desktop girl. Like, I just messaged you, Boston, just to test to see if it worked. And guess what? Oh. It's still working. Thanks so much for reaching out. I'd love to see how I can help. Blah, blah, blah. It's happening. So, guys, if you are listening and you're like, what is he talking about? What is ManyChat? Sam, what is ManyChat?
Yeah, ManyChat is as close to AI automation as we have at the moment with conversations within the DMs, at least from what I've found. There's a couple other companies that are trying to do it. It's not necessarily as great as ChatGPT, where you can basically talk to a robot and the robot will feed off of what you're saying. This is a pre-programmed conversation. It's set up by what they call flows. And so it starts with a trigger and it's an if this, then that type of flow. So if somebody DMs me the word Boston, then, and then I will write in, send this DM, you know, wait five, you can put on delays, right? So delay 5 seconds, then send this DM. And then depending on, sometimes it could be a vote, like a yes or a no question. If they vote yes, then send them this next message. If they say no, then send them this next message. Or sometimes it can just be after they respond, follow up with this message and then follow up with this message. It usually, my flows are three back and forths. And it usually typically ends with, what's your, do you have any time, you know, over the next day or two to hop on a call with me? And at that point, I basically will take over.
Okay. I was going to say, at that point, does it push your Calendly?
No, it should.
Okay. I'm like, dude, we can line this shit up, man.
It should. You know, what's funny is when I was setting this up with Will, we debated that and I was like, you know, I kind of want to, I'm nervous that if I send somebody to my Calendly, they get out of my DMs and maybe they don't fill it in. I'd rather keep them in my DMs and I can keep the conversation going. Yeah. I will say the one drawback with ManyChat is if they answer a question not in a way that you would have predicted they would answer it, it's still, depending on how it's set up, it's still going to send that follow-up message. Mm. Right? So like I could have a question of like, you know, hey, thank you so much for reaching out about this property. We'll love to, you know, set up a time to talk to you about it and you know, maybe take you through it. But real quick, can you just tell me a little brief summary of where you're at with your search and what you're looking for? And they could respond with poop, cats, dogs, groceries. They could just write that out. Mm-hmm. And then it would still trigger that next response of, that sounds great. Great. When are you available for like or whatever it is, right? So it's like, and I've had that before where somebody answered the second question in the first question, and then I still asked the second question. And I actually saw it happening in real time, and I quickly jumped and I said, hey, sorry, this is an automation that's set up in my DMs, but yeah, that's not a problem. Like, let me know and we can hop on a call. So okay, that's the drawback to it.
So ManyChat set up for some efficiency, some automations because that's the thing, like as you're continuing to grow and pushing for engagement, there comes a point where you cannot also sell real estate, because selling real estate is a full-time job in itself without actually being a content creator and a marketing expert and a follow-up specialist. So we got ManyChat. Are you posting yourself? Do you have leverage?
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm posting myself.
You're doing it.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm currently looking for an assistant that I've been interviewing a couple of people because I need help. I'm overwhelmed. But I have decided that for my Instagram, I can't hire it out. I am the people want to talk to me when they message me, and I have to be the one. I don't necessarily have to be the person at the property who's filming the property, but that takes 5 minutes of my time. I'm out and about. It's good to see the property in person anyways, because most of the times I haven't seen these properties before. So if someone is asking me to come film their new listing, I want to go check it out. And I'll walk through it, see if it's a good fit for any of my clients. And then I'll do a quick walkthrough video tour, which literally takes at most 5 minutes of my time. Then I'll come home and usually I will do them in bulk. So I'll film a few, and then at some point over the next week, I will upload it to my laptop, and then I'll put it into Final Cut Pro and I'll edit it down. And I know people say, well, why don't you hire that out? That takes me 2 minutes of my time. It's really quick. I've become very efficient at this. And the part that takes the longest amount of time is I will script out what I'm saying. Those voiceovers are heavily scripted, and I will literally watch the video and I'll be writing. I'll watch it again. I'll write it. I'll read it out loud. That's the part that takes me the longest, because what I have learned is the first few that I did, I was winging it and it was a mess. It wasn't consistent. I started to lose people. I lost myself while I was watching. I was like, this is probably the point where people are starting to scroll past. So now I will actually take some time and I'll write out what I'm saying. And I am trying to get my voice and my script to be as engaging as possible while they're watching whatever they're watching. So that might take me a little bit of time. And then I take out this microphone, I record it into my computer, and then it's done. So that part is relatively quick, I should say. But I'm for Instagram, I'm going to keep it to myself without hiring someone else to do that part. And then I'm the person I'm hiring is going to do a bunch of other stuff, transaction management, helping set up appointments. Where I'm getting a little bogged down right now is, my goal is to get somebody, a lead, to DM me, and then I want to get them onto a phone call. And then from there, my strategy is, we have a kind of what I call an intro call, get to know them a little bit more, what's their situation. From there, I will connect them with one of my lenders if they're not pre-approved yet. And we will then schedule a buyer consult at my office. That takes about an hour to hour and a half, where I will walk them through the whole home buying process, and they will have to sign up with me as a buyer client exclusive at the end of that to become a client of mine. And that part is starting to take a little bit more time as I'm getting more leads. So that's where I'm starting to need a little bit of help.
Yeah. And you're like, people say I should hire that. Dude, I'm of that camp. I am like, I'm with you in keeping the scripting and the voiceover to make sure it's, because you're totally right about like tonality and timing, and all of those things are so make or break. Yes. In a video. That's not, but the rest I'm like, dude, we got, that's okay. <I'm tired laughs> but okay. So got it. Love that process. And so just to confirm it, it sounds like is it the follow-up after that you're getting bogged down in order to get them on that call to get them to the consult?
Yeah. The follow-up and Instagram's not a CRM.
No.
So yeah. You can quickly forget people in your DMs. I have been moving, all my leads that come in, I will send them to the general section. Or whatever that is. Let's look at my DMs.
Yeah, this is actually really good intel, because one of the things that I don't like about Instagram is that I can't flag. I use WhatsApp all the time. Yeah. Or even on your iPhone now, you can pin, and you can, the mark on red, it only works. What if you're scrolling for freaking 2 minutes to find this? So please help me.
Yeah, so I will keep all my friends or realtors will be in the primary section, and then all my leads will be in the general section. And then you can flag, you can swipe over and you can flag them. Let's see, right now edit label. So you can flag, you can select flag, booked, ordered, paid, shipped, right? So I'll just flag them. And that to me is, as I'm scrolling through, whether it's every few days, it's a visual trigger for me to just check in and be like, where do we leave this off? Because I do use the Compass CRM all the time. It's how I run my business. It's an amazing CRM. And until I get these people actually out of my DMs and into the CRM, it's not as efficient. So it's the best tool that I have. It's the best that I can do with what I'm working with. And the other tough thing is a lot of these people, I don't follow people back. I have, I'm following just over 1,000 people. I choose not to follow people back because I'm also a user of Instagram and I want to see the content that I like. I don't want to miss my friends' content and the people that I'm close with. So I choose to only follow the people that I know. And then the clients I'm actually working with, I'll follow them as well because we'll build up relationships that way. But I don't follow a ton of people. But what happens because of that is I get a lot of people DMing me that will get into my requests section. And it's a habit now that multiple times a day, I'm just going into the request section and just refreshing and just seeing who's in there. Cause that's where a lot of them end up to start.
Yeah. And
many
so
chat, I will say many chat will automatically put them in your normal inbox instead of requests.
Yeah, that's good. I the request folder, you feel so bad when you've gone in and it's like, oh, you know, messaged you 160 weeks ago. And you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a good look. Client.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. So this is a really fun little pivot that we normally don't talk about, like the tough things. So that is a tough, you know, roadblock, I guess, where it's going into the request folders and also tough to keep track because Instagram is not a CRM. What other things do you feel like you're maybe struggling with or is a potential roadblock people might run into as they grow?
Just in general?
I was thinking because we've talked about Instagram so much, I was thinking on Instagram, but if you would like, Sam, again, this is your show. I'm just here.
No, I think with Instagram, I think the consistency is really hard. A lot of people will start and then they'll give up. So when I really committed, you have to commit and you have to understand that it took me a year of 2 to 3 videos a week before anything happened. For 1 year, I think I got one lead from Instagram for a year. And then I got lucky. There's a lot of luck involved with getting one or two videos to really take off. And then from there, you can start to like grow off of that. But there's a lot of luck and you have to be consistent because maybe it takes 4 months, maybe it takes 6, maybe it takes 12 months. But just like anything with this business, you know, whether it's doing open houses or cold calling or whatever, you have to be consistent and be willing to stick with it. Most people will not stick with it, which is one of the reasons why I don't mind giving my secrets away because like people are going to give up pretty quickly.
Dude, I have felt that for years. Like I used to, you know, all of the systems that I've built for my, you know, buyer, every checklist, every script, every template, I just give it all away and people will be like, Why are you giving that away? And I'm like, they're not going to do anything with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if they do, I'm so happy for them. So happy.
People have told me their cold calling strategies many times and it's not a waste on them. It's not like they're giving away a secret because I don't cold call. I'll try it once and I'll be like, nope, this is not for me. Right? Like I've done my business a pretty certain way for 13 years. And Instagram is like, this is a relatively new thing for me to have as an actual lead pillar. It used to be paid social media content. And then, you know, that started to get weaker with the quality of leads. This is organic lead content from Instagram. I'm not paying a dollar, but do know that 80% of my business is repeat and referral clients. You know, this is probably going to make up 20, maybe 25% of my business. Well, maybe this year it'll be more. I'm on
track right now. Yeah, I'm like, that's about to change.
I know, I'm on track to, I'm getting, 2 to 3 new clients a month. So I'm on track to maybe get 20 plus clients this year from Instagram. And if they're all in that 1 million plus range, it's not bad.
That's a beautiful thing.
And $0 invested.
Right. And so you said 80% of your business is repeat and referral. This is like the last chunk before we head to our wrap up, but is there anything specific that you do to stay in touch with them outside of Instagram?
Yes. I mean, I use a CRM. If you're not using a CRM right now, what are you doing? And I say that to my younger self. I did not use a CRM for 10 years. I had a spreadsheet. what was I thinking? Like, if you want to, like, I know you ask a lot of times, if you go back in time and like, what would you say to a new agent? You know, there's a bunch of things I would say, but one of the things would be get a CRM in the very beginning, really figure out how it works, what's the best way you can use it, and then use it immediately, start to put everyone in there. So I have clients that are in my CRM, all my past clients, I have somewhat regular cadence of kind of check-in reminders. And I, you know, depending on the last time I talked to them, I will send them, whether it's a CMA of, you know, the value of their home, or I'll just like, you know, if I'm trying to follow as many of them on Instagram as possible. So that is a little bit more of an organic conversation. And you know, I'll just see if something's happening in their life. If I see them post on Instagram that they just got engaged, they just announced they're having a kid, or they just had a kid, or they just got married, whatever it might be, you know, I'm big on gifts. I'll send them a lot of gifts. And it's just constant conversation and making sure I'm keeping in touch with them. I also will keep alerts on, like, you know, the neighboring properties around them. So if one of their neighbors sells and it's a really great price tag, I might send them that listing and be like, oh my God, look at this. Like, your property just went up $100,000 in value, or whatever. So just finding ways to keep in touch with them.
For gifts, do you use Client Giant or any of the automations out there?
No, so Compass has a gift center that's built in. It's a little expensive, so I'm not doing it as much. We use a local, baker that does these really nice, they're like cookie whoopie pies, that we'll send to people throughout the transaction. And then we have kind of a set specific gifts that we order from the same place, from different places, but the same thing every time throughout the transaction. And then I'll do holiday gifts every holiday. And I tried somebody new this past year. I think they're called Giftin. It was one of those, like, you know, they have a nice box and they have, you can choose what you want to go in it with a nice card. So I will do every holiday season, we'll send out gifts as well.
Add me to your gift list, Sam.
All right, I buy a home and you got it.
Shit. Okay.
The whoopie pies are good.
Yeah, dude. I won't, especially since I've started eating like really clean lately because spring is coming. And so now I'm just
These will not help. These were the whoopie pies that we had at our wedding. My wife actually literally just ordered them for us for Valentine's Day. And we are crushing like two. These are like, you have one and you're like, oh man, I'm like struggling right now. I'm feeling like I'm going to pass out. And we've been crushing like two a day.
Yeah. I'm like, I want that. I want that right now.
They're really good.
Have you heard of Lolo?
Lolo, no.
Okay, so this is one I learned about. It was a guest who recently talked about it that I think is super cool. So basically, it's joinlolo.com. But what they do is they partner with like businesses in a certain city, mm-hmm. and they do all the legwork to like get the business on board, and then agents can. You can upload your whole, you know, what spreadsheet of clients if you want, but it's a dollar, I think $1.25 per person. Don't quote me on that. It's somewhere around a dollar. And what they do is they have like your own marketing. They just text the people on the list once a month where it's like, hey, you know, from Sam, like, hey, Shelby, you just got you a free cookie from this local business.
Oh, that's cool.
Thinking of you. And so it's a dollar from the agent, but really it's the business is giving the freebie.
Interesting. Okay, yeah. I'm gonna look at that.
And it's like the whole, you know, local community, getting the people involved, and it helps them. Like the girl, her name's Caitlin Blosser. She says that people will go to like get their free cookie and then like take a picture and like tag her on socials. Like, thanks so much. So it's adorable.
I like that. I really believe in gift giving. That's a whole other conversation. I have a friend of mine that I got connected through Tom Fair. We have the same coach who he talked to me. He does like five gifts throughout the transaction process, and then gifts through like after for a year, and then so on and so forth. That's their marketing budget is gifts. And I love that idea. We do a lot of gifts. We don't spend really any money on marketing. So it's all like organic social media and gift giving and just keeping in touch with people.
Very, very feel good way of everyone feels good. Everyone wins.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Sam. So what does the future hold? What does the next year or 100 years look like for you?
I need an assistant. I don't know when this is coming out, but God, I hope by the time this comes out, I have hired an assistant.
Yeah. And if you're looking for virtual, I can help.
No, I need I need someone in my back pocket.
Okay.
I need them like right with me all the time. So I talked to someone that literally is, I'm so overworked that I have people reaching out with their resumes and I don't even have time to like look at them and talk to them. But I talked to a couple of people today. I talked to, you know, someone probably tomorrow. I need to get someone up and running in the next couple of weeks. And then from there, I really want to like, if I can take off enough off my plate, I want to see how much further I can push this Instagram thing. You know, like what happens if I go from two videos to three or four videos? What happens if I do two to three engagement story posts a week? How many more clients can I get? Can I go from 20 in a year to 40? You know, then I'm going to need like a showing assistant. That's what I'm starting to think about. So, which is good because I've been pretty comfortable and stable for the last 5 years. So I'm ready to kind of kick it back into that next gear and see what happens.
Very exciting. Okay, fire round of wrap-up questions. What is something cool that you've learned recently?
Okay, I will say that I'm thinking about hiring an assistant, and I've been told from somebody who leads one of the top teams in Massachusetts that it's going to take 6 months to get them up and running. It's going to feel like you are really struggling. It's going to take more work to get the assistant up and running than you are doing right now by doing everything on your own. But once you get through that hurdle and you step backwards, you will be throttled forwards. That's not a really interesting fun tip. That's the only thing that came to mind.
Dude.
That's a really boring tip.
No, I think it is helpful. But it's good. I accept. We're onward. What events are you going to in the next 12 months?
I'm going to Tom Ferry Elite Retreat literally on Sunday. I'm super excited. And that is it. I'm not a big event person. So I got a young daughter. And so I try to stay around as much as possible. So most of the trips are going to be with the family. We're looking at booking a house in Maine for the summer and a couple other vacations, maybe going to Puerto Rico. So the only event will be, although the Compass Retreat, I think, is in Hawaii this year.
Ooh, tempting.
That's a little tempting.
Yeah.
But Tom Ferry Elite Retreat, which is the best real estate retreat I've ever been to, highly recommend. It is just, you just leave there with, you're overwhelmed with the amount of information that you learn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really love Tom Ferry Summit. I went for the first time last year and I'm going again this year.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it's a good time.
Sam, how can listeners help you in your business and where can they find you?
Instagram, at SamRP. It's the best place to find me. If you know anybody who's looking to move to the Boston area, I can help. If you know someone who's looking to move to Massachusetts and it's outside of Boston and you don't know who to reach out to, send me a message. I can see if anyone that I'm close to covers that area, because I do cover mostly just the city. And a little bit around the city. And then if you're trying to pivot and grow your Instagram and you're struggling, happy to talk to you. I talk to agents all the time about this. If you want to talk about other stuff with the business, I've been doing this for a while, so I'm happy to chat.
Love it. Okay, perfect. And guys, if you want to hang out with me and Aaron, we are The Shelby Show and Aaron Amujastegui on the gram. As always, hit us with your feedback. And I don't say it enough, but if you love this show and you're just sitting there and you're like, this is my favorite show and I listen all the time, just share that on Apple with a 5-star review and we'll be eternally grateful. Also, check it out on YouTube because Sam and I hanging out. Yeah, we look just as cool as we sound, man.
Look at I got my plants behind me. I don't know. That's the only one that you can see, but we got tons of plants.
Yeah.
You want to see that.
You do want to see that. Yes. Go to YouTube and subscribe. And I think that's it. Sam, thank you so much for coming on the show today. And Real Estate Rockstars, thanks for listening.
This This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.